from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Monday afternoon. I'm Robin, and there's Cliff on the other side. And Cliff, I have one burning question for you.
I have an answer.
Okay. My burning question is where to hide my coffee cup?
Well, that's a good question. You should be right there beside you somewhere. It can't go too far, can it?
Well, you never know.
I know it can't.
I mean, how many times have you set something down, and you don't even move, and it disappears on you?
Well, I've never had my coffee cup disappear. I have if I'm looking for it for the first time that day, but whatever. Of course, it's big enough, it can't disappear too far.
Yeah, I've seen your coffee cup. Kind of like the 10-gallon head of coffee cups.
Why not? Anyway, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. We have in the Portland area, is kind of we have all seasons this week. We've had anywhere from sunshine to hail. But anyways, we got a lot to talk about today, folks. Hope you'll join us, 646-721-9887. The chat room is open if you'd like to join us there as well. And, of course, you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And a couple things going on in the news, one of them being Department of Labor's proposed new child labor laws for farms, which has got some people in the uproar, and also Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood would like to ban all use of cell phones when you're driving totally, and we'll get into that in a few minutes here. But first, I'd like to go ahead and promote our sponsor, Dancy Dog Cookies. They're individually handmade by Tom Caffey and Eugene, and they're available at select stores in Lane County and also available online.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the type of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Are you sure they're individually made?
Yes, they're individually made, all by hand.
Every single cookie is individually made? Wow.
Every cookie that comes out of there has been individually made.
So they can put love in all of their cookies.
They can.
Okay.
Check them out, dancingdogcookie.com. You'd be impressed. But anyways, 646-721-9887. What would you like to get started first on, Cliff?
I would probably be more upset with the child labor laws than anything else. I'll tell you, that's the one who really, you know, that's ridiculous that they do that, because they make it harder and harder. And that's one of the things that's wrong with the kids today is they have nothing to do, and they have nothing to do because we make it impossible for them to do anything. We don't allow them to do anything. And so, you know, it's going to be, can you even hold a paper route now? Because you're liable to hurt yourself throwing the paper or something, I don't know, or fall off the bicycle or something.
Well, actually, there's hours of restrictions that you can't work. I think you can get an exception for doing a paper route, but anything else, you know, the kids have to get their sleep. But what I want to do is I'll give a summary of what we're talking about here. But I want to give kudos to the people, because a trend that we've been seeing lately, I don't want to contend it to the Occupy Wall Street movement, but what we've been seeing is people getting more and more involved and standing up. And because people getting involved over this, literally within 48 hours, they withdrew the proposal, or at least tabled it for now. But excuse me. But what this proposal was, and this is from the, you can read this on the Department of Labor's website, is DOL.gov, is the Department of Labor was proposing revisions to the child labor regulations that will strengthen the safety requirements for young workers employed in agriculture and related fields, stating that the agricultural hazardous occupation orders under the Fair Labor Standards Act that bar young workers from certain tasks has not been updated, and I'm paraphrasing, since 1970. The Secretary of Labor, Hilda Solis, I'm probably pronounced that wrong, S-O-L-I-S, commented that children employed in agriculture are some of the worst vulnerable workers in America. Ensuring their welfare is a priority of the department, and this proposal is another element of our, here's the key word, folks, comprehensive approach. And she was saying that, I'm going to try and paraphrase it a little bit. The proposal would strengthen current labor regulations prohibiting agricultural work with animals and in pesticide handling, timber operations, manure pits, and storage bins. It would also prohibit farm workers under the age of 16 from participating in cultivating, harvesting, and curing of tobacco. It would prohibit youth in agriculture and non-agricultural employment from using electronic, including communications devices, while operating power-driven equipment. The department is also proposing to create new non-agricultural hazardous occupations in order to prevent children under the age of 18 from being employed in the storing, marketing, transportation of farm products, raw materials. Prohibited places of employment would also include country grain elevators, grain bins, silo, feedlots, stockyards, livestock exchanges, livestock auctions. It would also prohibit farm workers under the age of 16 from operating almost all power-driven equipment. They also are proposing to require 90 hours of governmental training.
For what?
So that you can learn how to work on a farm.
It's first of all going to take a whole lot more than 90 hours to learn how to work on a farm. Just a broad-based answer to that. And it's all ridiculous. It's all absolutely stupidly ridiculous. All they're doing is going to create a whole lot more juvenile delinquents, because the kids are going to be sitting around on their dead ass doing nothing. And when the kids sit around doing nothing, they get into mischief. They think of things to do. And almost every time, it's not the right things. It's not what the government would approve of. So which do they approve of more? Putting them to work a little bit, or letting them out and really messing things up? This is the stupidest thing that I've – boy, who sponsored this bill, you know?
I don't know who sponsored, other than the fact that the Secretary of Labor, Hilda Solis, was a spokesperson for it. And I don't know exactly who sponsored it. I do know that there is a whole bunch of people that flooded the Department of Labor's website, including writing their congressmen and stuff, and that kind of motivated them to put this on hold. In fact, in my notes here, it says not everyone in Congress was pleased with the rule being withdrawn. The Senator Tom Harkin, Democrat of Iowa, says, "I'm disappointed that the administration chose to walk away from regulations that were at the core about protecting children, which could have been revised to correct some of the initial proposals that generated most concern." Well, the thing is, though, that many family farms depend on their children helping out. And what this law basically is doing is just saying that, you know, under the restrictions, sorry, if you're under 16, go play in the freeway or something.
That's exactly me. And it's too bad because basically a lot of small farms, and everybody's out always trying to promote the small farm. There aren't very many of them anymore, and there doesn't need to be many of them. I can understand not working on a giant farm, I can't, because most of my kids learned how to drive on a farm, and long before they were 16, they were 14 years old usually. Most of my kids, as a matter of fact, learned how to drive at 14. If I didn't learn how to drive on the farm, I offered to teach them how to drive at home. If they're not on the highways and they're not bothering anybody and can't bother anybody, who cares?
Well, and also what they're citing, too, is that, and I'm quoting, this is Sally Greenberg, co-chair of the Child Labor Coalition, who is also disappointed with the decision to withdraw, said that agriculture is one of the far most dangerous industry that large numbers of teens are allowed to work, stating that nearly 100 kids are killed performing hazardous farm work each year. I'd like to see the actual numbers, but I've worked on a farm. I didn't grow up on a farm, but I had the privilege of working on the farm for at least a year. And yes, there's equipment that they have on there that if you don't know how to use it, it'll literally swallow you up and spit you out without thinking twice about it. And then it'll also bail you and put you in a nice stack. But most farmers, that's one of the first things that they teach their kids is how to operate the equipment safely. But, you know, if you go back in history, I mean, there was a time, too, that before electricity, that we had to rely on fire for lighting, you know, like candles, lanterns, and other things that we are such in a panic now, having our kids with matches.
It is so ridiculous. It's you know, by the time they're 12 years old, almost every child can be taught how to operate the equipment and how to do it properly. And granted, they do have a tendency to screw it up and to mess around and to play around with any of the equipment. But they have, you know, long past the time they were 16, do they still play around with it? I mean, by 25, they're still out there experimenting and getting into trouble and with the equipment and with cars and so on and so forth. So that artificial time space, that artificial limit there of 16, that's absurd. It should either be much lower or much higher, one or the other. And I just think it should be left out of the equation entirely most of the time. It's not a logical move. I mean, what is this 16 or 21? What is this magic number here? We started out at 21. Everything had to be done at 21. You couldn't smoke, you couldn't drink, you couldn't do anything until 21. And then we changed it down to 16 in a lot of cases. And you know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, at 18, you can go in the service.
Well, of course. I mean, it doesn't. You can get killed. I mean, you can certainly go. You know. Well, that's another story entirely.
I think this is another example of dumbing down America, because you know, I think if you give kids a chance, especially at a young age, they're pretty smart. But you treat them like an idiot, you know. Most kids, if you explain to them and without having a big purple dinosaur do it and intelligently and go, you know, I guess it's like the example, like when I was growing up, I've never smoked. My friends smoked, but I was never interested. But back then also, even though both my parents smoked, it was explained to me that besides being stupid, that of what it can do to you. And it's like, okay, well, let me see. I can smoke and get black lung. I can cause this and that and the other thing. I don't really get a thrill out of it. It kind of makes sense to me.
Well, I don't smoke either. I did, however, sort of smoke, mostly because my parents said I couldn't. And so consequently, I did. To be honest with you, I didn't like smoking. I never liked smoking. I never did enjoy it. And so I actually, this is going to be stupid, I didn't inhale. And I actually... What's that?
Neither did Clinton.
Yeah, I know. But I actually didn't inhale. I smoked, supposedly, for a short period of time, only because my mother and father said no, and I had to do it. So I didn't inhale. I didn't enjoy it. I just kind of sat there and puffed on a cigarette until it burned away is all. So, and I didn't do it very long either because I didn't really care about it, you know. I have only one major flaw as far as that's concerned. I eat too much. I don't drink. I don't smoke. Any other things, but I do eat too much. And I've never stopped doing that. I've never figured out how to make that go away.
Of course, you'd relate it to that, you know, one of the first things, at least back when I was growing up, that they would teach is, you know, look both ways before crossing the street, which kind of made sense, too. You know, you got these big 3,000-pound vehicles or whatever that are coming at you. You can get squashed. But unfortunately, we have adults that I've seen many a times will just walk right out on the street without looking. And then when they do get hit, they, you know, people complain that, oh, my car hit me. Well, did you look both ways before proceeding across the street? No.
No, it was at a crosswalk, so I don't have to look both ways at a crosswalk because I know everybody's going to pay attention to that crosswalk and not stop and then not hit me. Well, people are stupid. Some of them are really totally stupid. And the ones that are totally stupid are the ones that get hit. The ones that get hit and are stupid deserve to be hit. But most people have enough smarts to know not to do that. I mean, you know, you're not going to win when you play games with a car. You don't.
Our worst, and this happened not too long ago in Portland. Somebody texting on the phone, you know, totally focused on that. They got the audio playing in their ears with the earbuds, you know. And he walked right out in front of a train.
Well, anybody... that had to be on purpose. I think it had to be on purpose. There's no way, even with your headphones on for a phone or anything else, there's no way you don't hear a train. Trains are really loud.
Well, not the electric ones.
Yes.
But the whole point is, I mean, even in Springfield 2 years ago, there was a teenager that was doing the same thing, texting and listening to the iPad, walked right out in traffic, got hit and killed. Unfortunate, but, you know, this is where the focus is. Now, the thing is that, you know, as Bill Engvall says, you can't fix stupid. Now, I'm sorry the person got hit, but it's common sense that when you approach a sidewalk, stop, look, and listen.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that statement, you can't fix stupid, because that's exactly what happens and what takes place. And I don't feel sorry. I feel bad, but I don't feel sorry for the person who is so stupid that they don't bother to look and see what's coming on the road when they're walking out in the middle of it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, if you – well – I had one time I did something where I walked out in the middle of the road. I had looked both ways, and there was nothing coming, and somebody came around a corner from alongside, and I didn't see him. But I still didn't get hit. I didn't get anywhere close to it. I was, you know, I have peripheral vision. There is such a thing as your eyeballs can see in all directions, and in just about all directions. And you can see people coming at you. You can see cars coming at you. And if you're stupid enough to just stand there and wait for them to come and hit you, well, I'm sorry. I think you deserve it.
Well, that's the thing. Of course, seeing and having the thing between the ears work. But the whole point is that, and like I said earlier, I give kudos to the people who have stood up, called, you know, put pressure on the Department of Labor and the representatives to just let them know that, hey, this is dumb. You know, first of all, like I say, you got some bureaucrat, I'm assuming, that just says, oh, hey, you know, I think there's a problem here. And we need to put legislation into it to fix the problem. And we got to protect our kids. You know, because we are, as a term that I've coined, we became a bubble wrap society on our children. And I hate to say it, but, you know, sometimes getting a scrape and bruise is a good learning experience, but also, you know, learning common sense, too. And on a side note on that, I was driving by a park yesterday and coming through Washington through Longview, and I noticed this skateboard park. You know, some schools have these, too. It's like they're so worried about playground equipment, people getting hurt. Have you took a serious look at a skateboard park?
Skateboard parks are dangerous, dangerous places, and that's perfectly all right because you cannot keep young kids from being in dangerous situations. You've got to teach them to solve the problem, to understand how to work around it. You don't just take it away from them. You teach them how to handle it, and that's the way you do with everything. And that's why you can't just take all of these jobs away from these kids, working in the fields, picking strawberries or doing different various things in the fields that they've done for years and years and years. It's accomplishing a lot for them. We're I just can't believe that we are stupid enough to think that just making a law that says you can't do something is going to stop anybody from doing it. It's not going to stop anybody from doing it.
Well, no, and you're going to force people to become criminals because, like I said, most of these, like this law here, it affects mainly the family farm. And any farmer will tell you it's hard enough to make ends meet, especially when crops are going bad and stuff and labor is expensive. You know, that's one of the reasons why a lot of farmers hire illegals is because of the labor and everything. But, you know, it's good experience, especially because chances are that the child is going to inherit the farm. They need to know how everything works. And just to kind of put them on the sidelines until they're 18 or 16 years old is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. That's the ridiculous part about it. They've got to learn how to do the job and how to do things for themselves as well as how the operation of the family farm is done. We don't have enough family farms anyway, but I personally think the family farm is outmoded. It can be fine for the family itself, but the idea of the family farm providing things for us to eat, that's not what it does. Giant big farms with equipment and things like that are what's providing us with our food. So basically, the family farm is for the family. And if the family wants to let their kids work in the farm, I mean, they're telling us how we can what we can do with our kids, what we can allow our kids to do. And they're trying to do that everywhere now. And it's just a ridiculous thing to make the kids I keep going back to the fact, if you leave them out there with nothing to do, they're going to think of something to do, and you're not going to like it when they think of what they're going to do. So, but it's your own fault.
Exactly. Well, and on the same point, it's the responsibility of the parents to teach the children, to educate them, especially on things that are dangerous, like around the farm and stuff. And most farm families do that at a very early age. But then again, like you said, kids left on their own. I'll cite the example of the cartoon Beavis and Butthead, an episode where they laid down in the middle of an intersection challenging cars to run over them. And kids did that.
Oh, yeah.
That's why there's a disclaimer. I don't like the show, but that's why there's a disclaimer at the beginning of the show saying, hey, guys, this is a cartoon. Don't mimic it. But unfortunately, you know, I don't know how many kids did that, but do you fault that as the common sense of the kid or the lack of the parents actually teaching them how to use common sense?
Well, that's a little of both. I just – how many kids did you say were hurt or killed or whatever on farm accidents? So that's 100 a year?
That's what they're claiming. I haven't seen any data to back that claim up yet.
Is that killed or is that just
Sally Greenberg says nearly 100 kids were killed performing hazardous farm work each year.
We have a call. Matt Cook is on line 63-1, if you'd like to take him.
Yeah, welcome to the program.
What the hell, though? Who gives a shit? Who cares, for Christ's sake, you moron?
Okay. That was fun.
All right. Hey, thank you for that.
Why not? Well, a lot of people care because it's not just resigned to the farmer. We do have people trying to tell kids what to do anything and anywhere. And I mean, I've hired kids all my life to work at different things and to work different places, and it's, you can't do it anymore, and it's just ridiculous. Again, like I say, it leaves them out there with nothing to do, and they're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, and also to kind of make a point, to answer Matt's question about who cares. Well, apparently he called enough or cared enough to give us a call to yell that, hey, who cares? So thank you for contributing, Matt. We appreciate that.
Let's see if he has anything legitimate to say. He's back again.
Yeah.
Stop talking about it.
Oh, okay. We're not going to stop talking about it, so that's okay. Anyway, the point is, it's just ridiculous that we are being our federal government has decided that they know better than we do a lot of things, not just with the kids, almost everything. We get get into the idea of phones. We can't talk on the phone now. In the cars, they want to completely stop talking on the phone in the cars, and that's not going to happen. I don't think it's just not going to happen. So that's ridiculous that we should making a law. Well, you can make it with a lot of teeth in it, and still, I don't think it's going to stop people from doing it. So again. Too many people drive, and too many people want to talk, and the people talk to each other. People are on the phone constantly, and more now than ever before. I have never seen in my life people who you can't go without being in touch with your friends for even a few seconds. It's just amazing.
Yeah, well, Cliff is starting to change topic here, and which is okay. 646-721-9887. A little history on what Cliff's talking about. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood has proposed banning all cell phone use while you're running in your car. And he said that's based on the National Transportation Safety Board's recommendation, who, by the way, their recommendation is to ban all personal electronic devices while you're driving, but that's they're recommending that because of the 3,000 fatalities that happened last year. Well, a couple issues on that is, first of all, I mean, I'm sorry that about the 3,000 fatalities and that they're claiming was due to distracted driving, but 3,000 is not even 1% of the number of vehicles that are on the road today. And secondly, my little unofficial survey is most people agree about not texting and driving. So, some people agree about the handheld ban, but most people that I surveyed has said, you take our phones away from us while we're driving totally, that's where you cross the line.
Well, and they're crossing the line in a lot of different ways. Democratic administration, that they want to control everything we do. They want to be able to be the ones who pass out the privileges as to how we can live our life and what we can do in our life. And I don't think that's supposed to be. They're supposed to be there to help us, not to just control us entirely.
Well, and the thing is that if you take and look at these statistics, and don't be blinded by the propaganda that they're trying to put out. I mean, if you go to the DOT's website, they're running a series now in a test program in Texas about distracted driving, and they have a video where they're showing this family mother, daughter, husband, sitting there on the couch, and they're all weepy-eyed because their teenage daughter, they had to take off life support recently because the daughter was out driving on the back roads and got into an accident, you know, from being, as they're claiming, distracted. Well, chances are, you know, she was texting and driving at the same time. While it's sad that, I mean, that she got into an accident and lost her life over it, I'm sorry, but, you know, you can't fix stupid, you can't legislate stupid. You know, it doesn't matter what law is going to be on the books. You know, you could ban having the phone in the car altogether. It's still going to happen. All you're going to do is you're going to force people to be more inconspicuous about it, which is going to make it more dangerous. People are not going to give up their phones, and, you know, you can't legislate everything down to the nitty-gritty and expect people to follow it. You got to be realistic about it. The gal made a mistake. She was texting, distracted, ran off the road. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it happened. But that was her, I hate to be cold about it, that was her, I don't want to say the word stupidity, but carelessness, that caused the accident. I didn't cause the accident. But we're being forced to pay for somebody else's stupidity. On the same token, though, along the same line, somebody who's focused on being distracted, and this I think this is one of their thinkings, has unfortunately cost the life of other people.
Well, we should let private industry to take care of this, because the private industry will acknowledge the fact that these people are losing their lives, and they'll be fixing the ways of driving, you know, while talking. You can have different implements on your phone that will allow you to talk and drive at the same time. I don't know exactly how that would solve. Well, you can solve even dialing, because now they have the ability to just call out the numbers and have the phones dial them. So
exactly.
It can all be hands-free and can still be done safely. And so the industry is going to take care of that over a period of time. Now, granted, it goes a little bit slower than it does if you – well, I was going to say it goes slower than it does if you'd make a law. Actually, not true, because the law isn't going to work immediately either. The people are going to just ignore the law, especially until they hear about the law. And it's just, you can't just make rules and laws and regulations for everything, because as it is, I'm going to go back to my bit of all laws should expire after 5 years. I haven't been on that for a while, but we need to get them off the books and start over again. And this business of adding what I would call stupid laws is just ridiculous. We need to stop adding these laws. But the industry itself can come up with ways of handling the phones so that we can handle them in the car. Just like, you know, we don't take radios out of the cars. For that matter, if you want to, probably more accidents are caused by distractions in the car from another person in the car distracting them than it is by telephones. It's just ridiculous to pick on one thing like this. You got to fix it by fixing the system, not making a law saying you can't do it.
Well, and, you know, taking it to extremes, the National Transportation Safety Board in their recommendations is to ban all electronic devices while driving that is not factory installed. And by the way, Matt texts that we're boring.
What?
So,
then don't listen.
Well, yeah, our come on the program, and I mean, we love your calls, folks. But you know, if you come on like Matt did, then you just
wants to come on and we're boring, then come up with another subject and we'll talk about another subject. That's no problem. But don't just tell us we're boring. I mean, we may be boring, but and then you be the one who fixes that. Come up with a different subject and a different thing to talk about. But I don't consider talking about kids and the fact that we're destroying their lives. I don't consider that boring myself. I find that quite a thing to talk about, because we are doing just exactly that. We are ruining many, many, many kids' lives by giving them nothing to do, especially in the cities. We need to come up with things for them to do, but things where they can make money. I mean, you know, it doesn't, you know, coming up with a nightclub for kids to go to that costs money is nothing. I mean, some, they might work for a while, and for after a while they won't go. Giving them a job, giving them something to make them feel self-worth, that's the thing we've got to do. And that's what we're taking away from them just left and right with all kinds of things, not just on the family farm, but everywhere. We can't allow them to work, and it's just crazy.
Well, yeah, and I was just reading an article here. Speaking of distracted driving, this is 18 hours ago from the Associated Press. Two teenage girls sunbathing on a Philadelphia road struck by car. And it says the police had two teenage girls who fell asleep while sunbathing on a rural Pennsylvania road struck by a car. The two cousins tell the station that their 19-year-old brother had stopped at a stop sign, made a turn before striking the girls, and the girls had to be airlifted to the hospital.
They were sunbathing on the road?
That's kind of the way, it doesn't exactly say where, but...
I've seen dogs do it, and I've seen cats do it, but I haven't seen too many kids doing it. You've got to be pretty stupid to do that, I think. I can see it. I can see kids going out there. There's nobody on the road, and it's a very, very seldom traveled road, and so you're going to go out. But if you fall asleep, someone's going to travel that road and run over you. And when you're out there sunbathing, that's one of the first things you do is fall asleep. So
yeah, but the whole point is, you know, the only reason why I bring that up is because when you're talking about distracted driving, I mean, there's many things that can distract you. There's, like, for example, the accident that caused the National Transportation Safety Board to vote unanimously to ban all electronic personal electronic devices, or PEDs, as they're calling them, was based on an accident involving a semi, a 19-year-old in a pickup, and two school buses. And basically what happened in that scenario is that they were all approaching a work zone. The semi, which didn't have the trailer, so it's called bobtailing, was slowing down as they approached the work zone. The teenager, who it was said texted 11 times in 11 minutes, wasn't paying attention and rear-ended the semi. Now, of course, it's not saying in the report from the National Transportation Safety Board, it didn't say what speed the teenager was going at or the damage. The school bus behind them, who was distracted by something else, hit the pickup at full freeway speed, rolling that pickup up into a ball and putting it on top of the fifth wheel on the back of the tractor, and the bus itself landed on top of the sleeper of the cab of the tractor, of the semi, and the school bus following it ran into the first school bus. Unfortunately, a couple people were killed because of that accident, but the National Transportation Safety Board is using that as a prime example of why texting is bad. In other words, they're blaming this whole accident because the teenager was texting.
Well, this texting thing, this is, to me, I've got no excuse for that. I just don't believe in texting. I mean, it's a telephone, for God's sakes. Why the hell don't you call them and speak to them in person? I mean, this texting business, it's just absurd. I mean, people sit here and text all day. Not just kids either. I have a friend of mine who is a grandmother who spends her day texting because her grandson wants to text to her. I mean, he's like 10 or something, and she spends all day texting to him because he's answering what he's saying. You know, he could answer, he could talk to her on the phone. For that matter, he doesn't live that far away. He could go see her. I mean, it's just...
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you. But the whole point is how they're trying to spin it in order to get people to be sympathetic to their cause. You know, and also, and here's the thing I look out for, too, when you read the comments that people write in on the national NTSB board and the DOT's board, they're moderated, and the only comments there are, of course, agreeing with them.
Well, if it's in, if it's their comments, of course, and they're moderated, well, they're going to allow that. And, of course, probably people are not even taking it serious enough to disagree with them in large numbers. But I this moderated bit, that's, you know, when you allow for comments, they should be allowed to go through it, regardless of what they are. That's just like this guy on the phone. We allowed him through twice. I opened it up again, thinking maybe he had something to say there the second time. Actually, he came back a third time. I didn't bother then. But anyway, the point is, if you've got something to say, I don't mind you saying it. But let's be, you can be critical without being mean and without being stupid. I mean, just screaming and yelling doesn't accomplish.
Oh, yeah, and also to take it a step further, like I say, I'm going to refer back to the seatbelt law, which in Oregon started out as basically it was not a primary offense when it got passed. And the state police came out publicly, and I have the audio somewhere on file, publicly and said that we will not be using this as a primary offense to pull you over. In other words, if you're involved in an accident or we pull you over for running a red light or something and you're not wearing a seatbelt, then you'll get a ticket. Well, that changed to becoming a primary offense, and they actually have stings that are doing this. Well, here's the thing that, first it started out with, we're banning handheld cell phones. You have to use Bluetooth. Now they want to get rid of it all together. And then next it's going to be no GPSs, no iPods, no external CD players, anything else that wasn't installed. Then to take that a step further, the National Transportation Safety Board, and this is starting out with commercial vehicles, but it wouldn't take long to make it in private vehicles, would like to require event recorders, which is like little black boxes, which they are going to require in cars, I believe, about 3 years from now. I have to look up, get the exact date. No black boxes, but they would like to require a video event recorder that will capture the front, side, and driver of commercial vehicles. And at that point, besides the fact there's many uses for duct tape, it's like, I'm sorry, I drive a truck. I don't want a video camera staring at my face all the time.
Yeah, it is rough, isn't it? We do have someone else on the line now.
Yeah, they're just listening. Good intro, though. 646-721-9887. By the way, if you've never called a talk show before, now's a good time to do it, just like Matt did. But if you'd like to yell and disagree, yeah, we'd love to have you. But, you know, be kind of kind about it, so to speak. In other words, you come out of the box shooting, we're going to put you back on hold. 646-721-9887. When you dial that number, you can listen to the program as we have a caller doing it right now listening. Or you can, if you'd like to participate, just push 1 and it'll come up on my board and we'll open the line and welcome you to the program. But my whole point about all this is that it's kind of like that old saying, give them an inch, they take a mile. And if Ray LaHood gets his way and has that total ban on cell phones, well, first of all, I mean, look how many people are still texting, and that's against the law.
Well,
you know, how are you going to ban cell phones completely? I mean, realistically.
Well, that's what I say. You've got to let the industry take care of private industry do it themselves. and make some way possible that you can do these things and still have the phone in your car and still have, I mean, you can have, texting can probably be done by voice as well, if necessary, if you have feel that you have to do it. But you're right, making a law against it, it's going to take a long time to accomplish anything, and I don't think that's the answer. Let's do it a logical way so that we don't keep people from doing what they want to do, just make it safe for them to do it.
Or give people credit for using common sense on it. I mean, because, again, yes, there are people that can't walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, and those people, I mean, unfortunately, some of them cause accidents. I mean, look at the people that are totally irresponsible and drink and drive.
Well, if you want to stop accidents, you're going to have to stop driving because they are there. That's more people get killed in automobiles, I think, than almost any other thing there is. So we've got to do a lot of other things to make automobile driving safe, and that drinking is one of the biggest things that they've got to do to make it safe. A lot more people are killed while drinking and driving, and we've had laws against drinking and driving since the beginning of time, just about, and it hasn't actually saved, well, I suppose it has saved some lives, but I don't think it's saved that many lives. We've still got people doing it, and it doesn't even look like it's going to slow people down.
Well, yeah, one of the new laws in Oregon that on first offenders, they have to use the breathalyzer thing, which is people that have been using it actually says it actually has helped them because it makes it more real to them. But on a side note, I doubt very seriously that Secretary of Transportation Rilo Hood is going to be successful because people are not going to give up their phones. However, there's also talk about mandating devices in newer cars that when the car is in motion, it will prevent a cell phone from working.
Well, that good luck is the best thing I can say because people
I can see the reasoning for that. It's kind of using technology to force compliance. However, I mean, besides people that rely on the phone for their job on the road, you're traveling, family emergency, can't get through. You're transporting somebody that has a medical emergency, can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Or you come up onto an accident, you need to call 911, can't get out because your car's moving.
Yeah, there's so many ways that it's got to be, you've got to be smart enough about what you're doing to, like you say, you've got to allow human beings to have the say so. You've got to have the intelligence to do the right thing. Now, some people don't have that innate intelligence. And we know that, but they're not going to have the same intelligence, or they're just going to have just as bad of intelligence, and they're going to get themselves killed some other way. So, whether it's a phone,
the downside is unfortunately some of these people they wind up taking somebody else's life too.
Well, that's going to happen when you're in a 3,000-pound vehicle going down the road. It's going to happen that can, you know, you can't stop that. That's one of those things that's just going to be, whether they're doing it impaired by alcohol or whatever they're impaired by, or just impaired by, you know, another person in the car that they looked at to talk to about something. Or some people, I've seen people drive driving down the road at 50 miles an hour and reading. So,
you can't
make these rules and make them about everything. People got to have common sense somewhere along the line.
Well, in fact, there's already laws on the books about I don't think it's called distracted driving, but it's inattentive driving or something similar to that. So, like you say, if a cop sees somebody, you know, and I've seen it too, people reading a book while going down the road. Well, I'm sorry that you know, driving a vehicle has become so boring that you have to read a book, and despite the fact that, you know, you could kill somebody. But if you're that dumb, you deserve a ticket.
Well, now some of the new cars, too, have screens where the dashboard is and where all of the dials and meters and speedometers and things are. It's a big screen. And you could turn that into a thing to read with if you want to. And so we're working in the wrong direction electronically for cars. We're putting more and more electronic things in the cars and making it easier to distract from your driving rather than harder. So, you know, maybe we better get back to making cars cars again instead of putting all these things in them. It's amazing how many things we're getting into cars nowadays, stereos and televisions and everything else. And yet we figure there's no distraction and we'll continue doing not paying attention and killing people.
Well, I agree with you on that. Like in the newer cars that have taken away a lot of the controls and replaced them with touch screens. I don't like them. I mean, yeah, it is nice to have the information available, but to a touch screen, you have to take your eyes off to make your selection, and that's to even to change the heat in your car.
Yeah. Everything's gonna everything's gonna have to come to the Star Trek mode, and everything's gonna be worked with voice, because that's the only way you can protect yourself when you're driving or anything else. And everything is going to come to a voice control, I think, just like in Star Trek, you know.
Well, even with voice control. But, I mean, technology is getting to the point that, I mean, you got your backup sensor. There's a new law that I think it's within 2 years the cars have to have backup cameras in them. Some of them have the avoidance detectors built into them. In our fleet, we've got some new trucks that have avoidance detectors on them that override the driver control, and which I have pros and cons on that. But again, too, you're letting technology try to second-guess you. The truck I drive, I have an argument with it because it has a built-in system on it. It's an anti-skid device, which is a good feature, except sometimes it kicks in when I don't want it and it takes control away from me, and which actually, in a sense, in my opinion, puts me into a more dangerous situation.
Oh, yeah, that's the end thing now, having the car control itself, whether it's parking itself or slowing itself down when it comes too close to somebody or that sort of thing. That's the end thing now. And we're coming up with all these electronics devices, and we're going to have to work them out. There's going to be problems with them, and they're going to be pretty major, I think, before we catch them all and work them out. But maybe I would like to see the cars run by themselves. I just step into the car and tell it where I want it to go and then sit back and read a newspaper. That would be fine with me. But, you know, a lot of people seem to feel they have to do the guiding of the car and not leave it to the car itself. So they want to do it. I don't know why.
Well, and the next thing, speaking of distracted driving and cell phones, Google, for example, just released a product called Google Glasses, which is, in a sense, you wear them like glasses, and it's basically a heads-up display. Now, imagine people, because they'll do this, they'll try driving with those Google Glasses on, so they'll be like watching their computer while driving at the same time.
I that's an interesting thing, because those glasses, I've thought about those for a long time. I long time ago decided I would like to have television in a glass like that, glasses like that. I could put it on and have widescreen television right before my eyes at a fraction of the cost. But on the same token, you don't see what's going on. You don't see what's happening around you. You know, the house could burn down while you're watching television. You'd never know it. So there's a limit to the electronics. How is it enhancing your life or is it hampering your life? You can decide yourself.
Well, and again, you know, I mean, technology has its place in time. I mean, this is similar to an aircraft heads-up display is what it does. So it's designed to be worn all the time and as an interactive, so you can do both. But again, too, is that do we want to allow people to drive wearing those? Do we, I mean, where you cross the line? Just like with banning all cell phone use, including, here's a little point I want to make about that as well, is that with the ban on handheld cell phones, in the promotions, they say, well, if you've got to make a phone call, pull over. Okay, be safe, be smart. Well, there's been people that have complied and pulled over to make a phone call only to receive a citation because they pulled over onto the side of the road and it was not an emergency situation.
Yeah, they're going to have to make more places to be able to pull over if you do that. And that's going to get way too expensive. The states or the federal government can't afford to do that. So we've got to come up with a better answer than that.
Well, yeah, and it forces people to, you know, people that are trying to comply with the laws, it forces them to, especially if you get your first ticket about, you know, trying to comply, you're just going to go ahead and you know, take a chance anyways. And now you're not only, like I said earlier, your focus is on hiding the phone while you're driving now.
Yeah, yeah. And then, well, we're doing that, just I think, already, unfortunately.
I was just reading, we got some comments in the chat room. Says the Mike is saying the more people on cell phones, the more lights they will run and make millions off red light cameras. Well, that's really true. Of course, they're making good money anyways off red light cameras, and it's been suspected that they've shortened the yellow just to kind of do that. But, yeah, it's a good point. But, again, that I think – and I can only speak for myself, using a Bluetooth, I think, is the smartest way to do it. In fact, studies have shown that while you are driving, using a hands-free device, they put cameras in on this test group watching how their heads were, where they were looking. And the studies have shown that while they're talking on a Bluetooth, their eyes are more up, more focused front or forward than they are without. So they were actually paying a little bit more attention. But, no, I think anything, you know, like you're saying, Cliff, voice activated or, like I say, the hands-free is actually the best way to go, as long as you don't have anything in your hands or anything that takes your eyes off the road. But to completely ban it, like Mike is saying, is that, and I totally agree with him, you're not going to take away our cell phones, guys. I don't care what type of regulations that you make. We're not giving them up.
Well, there's no reason we should have to. I believe if we allow private industry to make the rules and regulations and to make the equipment to follow the rules and regulations, we're going to have smarter ideas than, you know, if you have the industry making the rules, you've got a group of hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people making the rules, instead of two congressmen sitting down and trying to make rules for everyone. So it doesn't make any sense to me for Congress to do this. It's better to have hundreds of people working on a problem and coming up with the answer than to have them have two people coming up with the answer.
Well, that's true. I'm just reading what Mike just put in the
Well, you know, what Mike has to do with that, he says Bluetooth is not as popular because it's not as fast. Actually, let's get smart. Bluetooth is as fast. You can talk to people, and it's. Let's talk to people. Let's quit this business of texting people. That's absurd. It's just ridiculous. If you want to talk to somebody, talk to them, and you can talk to them with Bluetooth and not have to touch anything, not have to use your phone. As far as touching your phone is concerned, you don't even know there's any difference. I don't find Bluetooth slow.
No, and on mine, I just punch one button and say call Cliff, and the phone rings and he ignores me. So it works just fine for me.
Really? I mean, it's just this Bluetooth thing. Texting is what I'm more interested in getting rid of in the cars more than anything. But I'm interested in getting rid of texting most of the time. I can see some instances where if you're in a place where you don't want the phone bothering you and you don't want the phone ringing, then you put it on. You can put it so it'll accept the Bluetooth. It'll accept the text and continue on, and you can get some information. So you can do that. And if that's the case, that's fine. But it's a phone, for God's sakes. Telephone. Talking. Communicating with people one-on-one. Person-to-person. Let's do that. I mean, why are we using it for other things? I don't understand.
Well, like I say, good luck legislating the ban on it. But this is more of a reactionary thing and more of another step of governmental control over people. And there, like I say, what's humorous, like I said earlier in the program, is that if you fall for the propaganda to the way that they're trying to sell it, we're going to lose. It's just another first step of losing some of our rights. Another step back. Look at what they're saying, and look at it from a different perspective, and you might just, you might see who's sitting behind the curtain, as they say.
Well, it's been standard procedure that the Democrats want to tell us how to run our lives. They want to tell us what we can do and when we can do it, and they want to hand us the money to do it rather than leaving us the money to do it ourselves. So we're in a position right now that we need to change regimes. We need to change from a Democratic regime to a Republican regime. But what would be better if we could actually divide it up so it's half and half. So we have enough people. I would be very happy if we could get a third party in there and have a third party that was a viable party rather than like it is now. Because we have third parties there, but they aren't big enough to do anything, or they don't accomplish anything, or they don't try to do anything. But we need somebody to at least think about it. And right now we've got... It's just a stalemate. We have nothing going on, and I, to a certain extent, I don't blame the president for going in and saying, okay, if you're not going to do it at all, then I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to take over and do it around you by proclamation or whatever you want to call it. And he's not getting anything done. Otherwise, nothing is happening. The Democrats are saying no, and Republicans are saying yes, or vice versa. So I can see the man taking his opportunity where he can get it, but I still don't believe in it. I don't think that's the way it should be done. We should open it up and should make it, force it to be heard in the different houses, the Republican, the House of Representatives, and the Senate. And if it's opened up there, it should be allowed to be acted on, not be swept under the table and under the carpet.
Okay, I'm apparently missed where you're going with all
that. Well, we're being told right now that nobody's doing anything. Everybody's, if the Democrats come up with something, the Republicans say no. If the Republicans come up with something, the Democrats say no. Supposedly the president is a Democrat, but he's thinking in terms. He's opening up his mind and thinking outside of the box a little bit now, and he's just doing it. He's just making it possible to do things that aren't being possible before. So we've got to change the makeup of the Democratic House and the Senate, and make it a little more. In other words, we've got to make some sort of a rule that says it can't be a stalemate. It can't be a stalemate. You've got to have an answer. You've got to take it to some sort of an ending, and whether we like it or don't, or whether it be Democratic or a Republican, it's got to go to an end. And if we don't like it, what it did, then we bring it up as a little, make it the rule of the law a little different and resubmit it. But we've got to think it through to the end. We can't just stop it and tell us that it can't go any further. We're at a stalemate of everything, and our country is suffering because of it. We can't decide what to do about our budget. I can't decide what to do about the military. I think the military is way out of line. We're giving money away to people that doesn't need to have money, that don't need to have money. No, I'm not saying that there's anybody who doesn't need money. Everybody wants it. But we can't give money to everybody. And we're just handing it out. We've got to change our ways and do something with a little more thought in mind than we have at the moment.
By the way, on another note on the cell phone ban, this is under the Governor's Highway Safety Administration website, ghsa.org. Most states have a ban on handheld cell phones, and most states have a ban on school bus drivers. And a lot of states, if you're 18 or under, you can't use a cell phone at all while driving.
Yes. Let's get back to the 18 and under. How is that going to stop anything? How is that going to fix anything? if that's what's the case, we should have, well, basically we have a ban on 18 and under driving. You have to be 18 just in most states to drive or to get the license or that. No, it's just ridiculous. These artificial checkpoints at 18, 20, 21, 16,
Well, they're thinking, especially on the age thing for 18 and under on driving, is that they haven't learned, haven't gained the experience and reaction time, much less being distracted by talking. And in a sense, I can kind of see that, but on the other side of the coin, I can also see that it will, you'll say 16, then 18, then everybody under 21, just like they did with going into the store and buying cigarettes. You know, it used to be if you looked under 8, or alcohol, it used to be if you looked under 18, now if you looked under 21, now if you look under 35, they'll card you. The point is once they get their foot in the door on something, it gives them power to continue it, and it never stops.
That's right. I agree with that, but I also agree with the fact that the artificial time extent of 18 or 16 or whatever it is, you know, we got to come up with an idea that's sort of logical. Different states have different rules and decide what's good and what's bad and how old you have to be to do things. It's amazing how in one state it's okay, you can have enough smarts to do something, and yet in another state you can't. So we need to come up with a logical step right there. And we started out with everything being 21. You had to be 21 to do everything, and that was almost everywhere you had to do that. That, I think, is about the logical move again. I personally don't believe in that. I think by the time you're 16 that you're smart enough to do these things. And as far as you're not having the reaction time and your driving is concerned, yes, you do. You actually have a faster reaction time at the younger age than you do at the older age. And the only reason you haven't had a chance to have learned how to do it is you haven't had a chance to do it. So we've got to come up with a logical move as to how to do this driving perhaps with an adult for a longer period of time, so that you can have a chance of learning how to do it and catching on how to do it. There's got to be a logical way to move into this and get there safely.
Well, you're right. But give people credit. Like I said, they're citing it on 3,000 fatals in 1 year. Compared to how many millions of drivers that are on the road. You know, it's that 1% rule with 1% is regulating what the rest of us are doing. In other words, 1% messes up, the 99% of us have to suffer because of it. You know, give credit to the 99% of the people that don't have these issues.
Yeah, that's right. And then make it so that we can move our way into it. Have a learning process there, pad of time where you can learn how to do these things and be logical about it.
Exactly, common sense. I mean, just like we started in the early part of the program about the child labor laws on the farm. You know, it's amazing that when you give people credit for doing something, especially in America, it's amazing what we can accomplish. But, you know, when you try to regulate stupidity and you try to put everybody into one box and have a bubble wrap society, I call it the dumbing down of America because basically it doesn't work. The theory doesn't work. And it's just like what we're starting to see is just like an old adage about even a mouse being cornered will attack. Well, just like with the farm bill, you know, people are getting tired of the government telling us what we can't do, especially when it comes down to our livelihood.
I like this thing, governments never surrender their power, that was on our chat board. That's true. They don't want to ever surrender their power. That's why I feel that we should, every 5 years, all laws should expire. And if we want to continue them, then we have to submit them and renew them. And we can do that. That would be no problem. And we can have an easy way to do that. But all government rules should expire after 5 years. We've got rules. We've got so many rules on the books now, so many laws on the books now that we'll never, you know, we can't do anything. I'm sure if you went to check all the rules and regulations that they'll find just everything wrong, everything against the law somewhere, and they don't ever take it off. They may ignore it and never again worry about it, but they don't take it off the rules, take it off the books. And we've got
you can't follow a law without breaking a law.
Yeah, that's true too. Now we've got to see if you can't, you don't know what laws there are. I mean, how, where could you find out every law? You can't. I mean, do we even have every law written down in one specific place?
Well, there was over 40,000 laws passed last year.
Yeah.
40,000 laws.
What?
40,000 laws.
And that's 1 year. That's one year. And we've got how many years of them ganging up on us? I mean, that's impossible.
And what's sad, now Cliff always gets on my case for saying this, but what's really sad is, why read the bill? They don't even know what laws that they're passing.
Yeah, that's true too. Well, and was that 40,000? Is that nationwide or is that statewide?
I think it's nationwide.
Because, or maybe both. But even then, we have laws. Everybody passes laws, and you. That's why I know why most people don't really care, and most people just go out and, except for the basics, common sense laws. People don't pay any attention to them because you can't follow them all. You can't live by them all because you don't know what they are. So, you know, just ignore them basically flat entirely. And then when you get wrong by one, say, I'm sorry, you know, and then go on your way. But it's to the point where you can't place yourself in a position of knowing what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, 16 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. Again, you know, we're not limited to our main two topics as we've just switched gears here. That's okay. If you'd like to join us on this or anything else, give us a call. We got plenty of time. 16 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887.
By the way, I agree with the person in the chat room, by the way, again, says blame the computer age. They wouldn't be passing 40,000 laws a year if they had to do it with a quill pen. Think maybe we should go back to the quill pen. Maybe we could slow things down a little.
Or maybe we should outlaw speech-to-text software. That'll slow them down a bit, too.
Yeah. Or just can't do anything on the computer with passing laws. Laws have to be written out with a quill pen and have to be read by everyone to be passed.
He makes a good point, because in the on the case the Supreme Court case on Obamacare, it was brought up about I can't remember exactly who the person was that they were told to do it, but they were told to go and talk about each issue in the Obamacare, and the guy goes, "You mean you want me to read all 2,300 pages? That's ridiculous."
I don't think Obama has.
I don't think he. So we don't really know, because, like they're saying, the majority of the people that voted for the bill did not read the entire bill. Some of them outright admitted they didn't read the bill at all, but they voted on it. They voted in favor of it. Nancy Pelosi came out and said you have to pass the bill to know what's in it.
Well, when you got that many pages in a bill, it can have something to appease everyone. And so you can read far enough to get to the parts that you like and say, okay, I like that, so I'll vote for it. And it's going to be a part in there for everybody to like. So there should be no possible reason for a bill to be that long. I don't know how long I would limit it to, but there's got to be a lot less pages than that so that people can understand what they're passing.
I mean, that's the whole point. You know, they took and rammed it through because they knew people aren't going to read. You know, they handed this big stack of 2,300 pages. Who's going to read that? You know, like the John Converse says, is, you know, it takes 2 days and two lawyers to figure out what's in it. Well, if that's what it takes, that's what you're getting paid for. Like you said, either you don't vote on it unless you've read the thing or know what you're voting on, or secondly, don't introduce bills that are that big.
Well, I think the second is a simple matter, fact of the matter, and the simple solution is not to build anything to make anything that big. Make it small enough, and if you have to, make it in several bills, and the people can read several smaller bills, but there's nothing that's that big that can be understood. You've got to have, he says you have to have a couple lawyers in a couple days, then find a couple lawyers in a couple days, but let's just make them trim it down to the point that your lawyers are doing other things too.
Well, yeah, but like for example, maybe putting the bill in regular speak, in understandable English instead of lawyerese.
Well, you know, I don't see you speak about dumbing down America. That's what that would be doing, I think, is dumbing down America. You know, I don't know that I have to change that because these people are in the government and they should learn how to speak the language that they're in or the language that they're working in. Yes, they do have to do their homework, but they don't. And so we need to change the people that are there. We need to change the people that are in office, which is this is the time to do it. We've got an election coming up, and we've got a whole lot of people that we can change, and let's put in people who will take the time. But that's, again, getting back to this business of fundraising. You spend your entire time while you're in office fundraising. So let's stop the fundraising, make it a shorter period of time that you can stay in office, and let's spend their time doing what they're supposed to be doing instead of out fundraising.
By the way, there is something I wanted to share with you that I don't know if you've heard this or not. Tim is remaining on the program, 646-721-9887. Still time to give us a call. Michelle Obama was attending a function involving some kids that were doing a Q&A thing, and one of them asked her a question about being a first lady, and this is one of the things that she responded to.
If you could change anything about the first lady job, what would you do? We can't, like, sneak out often on our own without security and motorcades and people with us, right? It's hard to sneak around and do what you want. I've done it a couple of times. But, you know, one fantasy I have, and the Secret Service, they keep looking at me because they think I might actually do it, is to walk right out the front door and just keep walking.
And take your husband with you.
That didn't sound like her, but yeah, you're right. You know, there's once you're in that public of position, you can't do much anymore. Her kids are going to be hate. Well, we're hoping that they won't have to worry about it for the next 4 years. But if they do get stuck in there for 4 years, the kids are the ones that are going to hurt the most. They've got to work on. They can't go anywhere or do anything without people around them too.
Well, and like I guess they had kind of a roast or something recently, and one comedian was. Talking about Obama, he says, "Oh, one term that I have to say for the president is not two terms."
Really, really, and the position of Mrs. Obama, right? And it's not her position. Her title is not spend. Obama can do that. Mr. Obama can do the spending without help from his wife.
Well, and I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, like people are saying, is that we can't afford a second term. I mean, look how things are going. Look at how many executive orders have been passed. His opinion about Congress, and as also his comments to other world leaders that his hands are tied until after the election, speaking as if he's going to get it. By the way, the texter is asking how many vacations has Michelle taken. I think it was either 16 or 19 since they've been in office. We talked about that last week.
Well, I tell you, it's a position right now where Mr. Obama is. He's getting what he wants anyway. He said he can't do things until after he's in for the second term. He's doing it. He's just ignoring the rules and regulations. He's ignoring everything and just putting things in there and making things go anyway. So we don't have to worry about it. I mean, it's just a matter of who decides who's going to go. I think Obama is actually getting smarter. He's actually learning what he's doing and what he's not doing and how to do it and how not to do it. He's definitely learned how to usurp the controls and to take over without following the rules. So I don't know. We've got to get smart and get him out of there. That's just all.
Well, that's the thing. Don't fall for the sound bites. You know, step back and look at his record. It's all public. And granted, in my opinion, you know, Mitt Romney is not the best. And I'm not going to say that, you know, what could 4 years hurt. But I don't know. I just partly I'm disappointed. I mean, because we wanted change from the Bush era. And Obama came in. He made a good sale. I'll give him that. He made a good sale. Everybody, you know, he said hope and change. Well, he didn't say that we weren't thinking that 3 years later we'd be hoping for change. But,
well, that's what we're doing right now, and we've got to do something about it. The thing is, people have got to you must. If you pay any attention at all what's going on in the world around you, if you've seen any of the speeches that Obama has made, and then watch what's happening in the world as it's being done, they don't have much semblance to each other. What he says just doesn't follow along with what he does. He doesn't care what he says. He says whatever it takes to make the audience stand up and applaud or do whatever he wants to do because he really likes that audience. He really likes that business of having a large group around him. And so he likes to make those speeches. But they don't mean anything because he doesn't pay any attention to what he's saying. He doesn't pay any attention to try to making it happen. I mean, he has said a lot of things in his speeches that I liked, that I thought were great. But when I look and see if he's done any of them, if he's done anything towards them, the major ones that count, no, he hasn't. He hasn't accomplished much of anything. Not that I've been able to see.
Well, and that's the thing. If you keep track of what he's saying, you'll be amazed because how much he changes. Like, for example, I have another audio clip here. This is back in the 2008 elections in the debate against Hillary Clinton, against Hillary Care.
You can have a situation, which we're seeing right now in the state of Massachusetts, where people are being fined for not having purchased health care, but choose to accept the fine because they still can't afford it, even with the subsidies. And they are then worse off. They then have no health care and are paying a fine above and beyond that.
Okay. And Obama's putting Clinton down for that. That's exactly what Obamacare is. After 2014, if you do not have qualifying health care, you will be fined, unless you meet that very narrow band of poverty level, you'll be fined $645, or 2.5% of your gross income or your taxable income, if you don't meet the health care qualifications. And that's collected by the IRS.
That's another thing we need to get rid of, is the IRS.
But the point is here's Obama that was putting Hillary down for doing exactly what he's doing now.
That's true, but it doesn't. You know, that really doesn't make any difference because he doesn't. He puts himself down. He puts his own. Nothing he says is legitimate. He just says what comes to mind. He says what his speechmakers put on that teleprompter there, so he can say it, and he can say it with conviction. But it doesn't mean anything. It's just what the speech writers have at the moment to work with because it's going to fit what they're talking about at the moment or where they are at the moment. The audience that they're talking to, and it's not legitimate at all as to what's going to actually take place and what's actually happening around the world. He doesn't pay any attention to what he says. He just does what he wants to do.
He's a car salesman.
Unfortunately, I don't know because I've not bought a car from people like that. I guess.
But you know what I mean by the term.
Yes, I know. I know. That's
Nancy's going to say that the you could buy the United States at a very reasonable price because it's only driven by little old lady on Sundays.
Yeah, well, it's really sad. We should be doing some things about our economy at this point, and we aren't doing those. The world economy is about to collapse, and we aren't doing anything about that either. So, and the president doesn't seem to be paying any attention to it, or if he does, he doesn't say anything about it or doesn't indicate that he knows what's going on. So I'm afraid that we're liable to let Spain go into collapse at a point, and we're just going to be – we've got lots of things happening.
Or you focused on condoms and the arbitrary war on women.
Yeah.
Started by the Obama administration, which is one of the things on the student loans, which is supposed to double within the next 6 months or so. And they went ahead and tabled that for the moment and said that they pulled the money out of Planned Parenthood. And now Nancy Pelosi is complaining that this is part of their war on women. It's like, give me a break. I mean, has anybody ever thought that there was a war on women other than what the government has come out with? And then they have all these people coming out and these women going, women's rights, blah, 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 blah. You know, here we are back to the 60s again.
Have you actually read that that student loans have now surpassed credit card loans?
Yeah.
I mean, this student loan is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But we're running out of time, so consequently, we'll continue on some other time. We've got a lot of things we can talk about. Next week, maybe we can talk about a little bit about the government itself and how much money it's spending and how we've got to get it out of the freebie business.
Exactly. And again, thanks for everybody for stopping by. Again, if you have a comment, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And we got some new and exciting things coming up in the future. Stay tuned. We'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Until then, we'll see you then.
Bye.
To check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.